With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to a Slaker edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. I'm only saying that because in the background, as I'm speaking to you, I'm watching the fourth quarter of Lakers Nuggets on mute.
It is weird to have watched a Warriors game against a Western Conference team and then there'd be another game after it. That is a little bizarre. Yeah. I'm a little shaken by that one.
Yeah, no, it's nice to have the team you cover play the early game. You know, this is usually we'd be talking right around midnight or something. Instead, it's 9:30. I can watch a little Nuggets Lakers as we talk, which is a West Finals rematch, by the way. Game we saw tonight did not look like a West Finals preview, mostly because the Mavericks are in a really bad place, which we can get to. But this should be a positive segment to open this podcast because the Warriors, without a center, and I include Eric Paschal in that batch of centers who didn't play because apparently he woke up with knee swelling, that they got an MRI on and it's not serious, but he didn't play either, so no Paschal, no Looney, who's out 2 weeks, no Wiseman, who I think is probably honestly about 6 days away or so. And they won. They scored 147 points. They had their best offensive game of the season. They look fluid. They look fast. Oubre scored 40. Draymond had 15 assists. I believe they hit 22 threes. And they blew out a Dallas team that most people projected to be ahead of them in the standings this season.
They took advantage of the circumstances. I give them full credit for that. You know, the lanes were open, the shots were open, but they made them, and we've seen them miss them at various points this season. And they looked like they loved the challenge. And Kerr talked about that before the game. I think the players embraced that. I think they wanted to see what they could do in a funky thing. And we'll see, you know, how long it has to last, and if they can, you know, let's see what Dallas comes up with them next game. But I think, you know, we saw them kind of having fun out there. We saw them playing loose, and you know, you can say you're gonna play loose and the shots don't go in, maybe you don't play so loose, but the shots were going in. Kelly Oubre was making shots. I thought Oubre played good even before he was going crazy. Like, I just thought he played a solid game. They needed him to kind of bang inside, they needed him to do some blocking out. I was joking, like, he's a power forward now, like, maybe that's his better position.
It is.
Like, get those centers out of the way and just have him be at four, and then you tell him, you got to put your body on somebody. And he was doing it. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, pulling guys away from the basket. And clearly the Maverick guys were not that interested in doing any of that. But 40 points out of Kelly, what have we have been saying, you know, whatever. We've been critical of him. I've been critical of him. We've said he should be out of the starting lineup. But we've also said it's pretty amazing that the Warriors got to this point with Oubre playing so poorly, specifically on offense. If they got anything from Oubre, can you imagine what they would be? Well, we just saw. I mean, you know, it was way above average for Kelly, but this was a miraculous Oubre, you know, career scoring night. But that's how good they can be if Kelly Oubre just makes some baskets or makes a ton of baskets or starts raining baskets in. They can be looking like the Warriors of 2016 or something. I mean, you know, again, you got to understand who the opponent was, where the opponent is mentally, but this was an old school Warriors just smoke you, and Steph and Draymond don't even have to come back in and play in the fourth quarter. That hadn't happened in a while. Yeah. Has that happened this season?
I'm trying to remember exactly, but they've had a cut. Like, they blew out the Kings, I believe.
Maybe one of those Timberwolves games.
Remember when Wiseman had 7 dunks on the Spurs, and they just Aldridge looked worse than Porzingis did tonight, which we can get to Porzingis. But Oubre, 7 of 10 from 3. He jumped his 3-point percentage from 23 to 27. And, you know, this was going to happen. I believe you mentioned it on Twitter. But, like, you know, percentages were going to stabilize. This guy is a you know, 33% 3-point shooter, probably at least 32,
30, 31.
You know, 31, he was 30. Yeah, he was 35 okay. last year. So he's over 30. So he's probably very likely going to get over 30, and that would include nights like this where he's 7-10 from three. To me, that didn't have that much to do with the fact that there wasn't a center out there. That's just, it's just random. The guy just was striping in open threes that he's been missing. But he also made 7 twos tonight. And if you look at the twos, a lot of that is because it's a wide open court. You know, there's no rim protector behind. And then on a few of them, I highlighted in the story I wrote post game, is Porzingis is on him because Porzingis didn't want to guard Draymond because Draymond's in the fray too much. And Porzingis is stiff right now defensively. And Oubre has a really good first step. And when he's not just sitting there dribble, okay, I'm going to attack into some traffic. When he has a spread floor with no centers and he has the center guarding him, he can do some of the stuff he did tonight. Yep. He can just blow by Porzingis on a catch and go. And I remember talking to somebody within the Warriors a couple weeks ago, talking about the struggles of Oubre, and they mentioned, like, look, Oubre was a small ball power forward for the Suns last year in a lot of lineups, and that was his best season. So it's the strangest that I did write about in my post game, but you know, Draymond seems more comfortable when he's in a small lineup. Oubre seems more comfortable when he's in a small lineup, but their number overall two overall pick, who will be back pretty soon, is a center who I do think has skills to play in, you know, in an up tempo spread system because he can hit threes and he's fast. But he still doesn't make the quickest decisions. And Steph had an interesting quote about it postgame. But it's going to be interesting just coming up because, I mean, clearly, at least, you know, again, perfect opponent for it. But they look more comfortable in small ball.
I think it sets them loose to be able to do their best stuff, right? I mean, it sets Steph loose. Anything that sets Steph loose is the best thing for them. Anything that gets Draymond going is the best thing for them. Other teams have counters to that, though, right? Other teams know how to stop those things or at least slow it down. Clearly, the Mavericks had no idea how to do it tonight. Now, they run into somebody else. Utah Jazz, maybe you're not going to be able to do this. You know, various other Lakers, you're not going to be able to do this. Clippers, you're not going to be able to do this. But give the Warriors credit for lighting up a team that we all thought going into the season was going to be very good. Just lighting them up. 31-point win. Gets them, by the way, Slater. Drum roll, please. Into the plus in the point differential this season.
Wow. Because
they were way, way down there.
Well, they needed to even out a couple of the blowouts.
Yes, exactly. So they are 12-10 with a plus 0.04 per game point differential. We've long awaited for that moment when they go over into the positive side. And I give them any victory like that counts. It counts. It counts. And it's not like Dallas was banged up. It's not like, you know, Luka Doncic wasn't out there trying as hard as he could. It's just that the Warriors in this set situation were better. Again, I don't think they can do it very often, but they, hey, by the way, they continue to kill bad teams. Now, we didn't think Dallas was going to be one of those, but the Warriors are the king of the bad teams. They just, you give them a bad team and they're going to find a way. Steph Curry shooting like that helps. Draymond, obviously, we can talk about Draymond. I mean, those passes from the top were just unbelievable. They were, you know, they dominated the game. And Draymond was good on defense too, but man, it's not just the number of assists, 15 and three quarters. It was just the way he did it. They were not like those sort of gimme assists. They were passes that immediately led to a wide open shot. And those changed the tenor of a game. And they certainly changed this one.
Yeah. He's a top 10 assist man in the league right now. And at 15-9 and three quarters, like you said, didn't even play the fourth. So, you know, they're smart assists. Like he did the dribble handoff because Dwight Powell's hanging too far back again. That's part of a center is guarding him. He's going to exploit that better. Some of them were high risk assists, like the one he threw to Curry in traffic where Curry said like goggles, like some of those can just on nights against better defenses are tipped in turnovers and we're going, hey, Draymond had 6 turnovers tonight. What is that? And it just worked really well tonight. He was invigorated, it seemed. Maybe some of that was because he knows how important he is on this road trip without a center. He is maybe invigorated by the fact that he knows he is playing center and he likes to do that a bit more. And he just looked like he had more legs. I mean, he dunked on Luka Doncic. You know, if that dunk wasn't happening, the first couple weeks of the season. Really, every point this season before tonight, that dunk was not happening. So that, I think, led into to some of it. I think
the presence of Kristaps Porzingis had something to do with that, by the way. Draymond likes playing him. You know why Draymond likes playing him? Because he knows he can push him around, and he knows Porzingis doesn't like it. Now, Porzingis hits those threes when we started third quarter, whenever that was, but that's all he wanted to do was stand out there and throw up threes, and he just wasn't around, and he certainly wasn't challenging shots on the other side. I don't know if Draymond was in his head. I don't know, whatever it is, but I think Draymond at least was like, he liked that. He lights it up when he gets to be able to play Kristaps Porzingis. And I don't think Porzingis enjoys playing Draymond that much. And he's one of the Blake Griffin thing. Like, it doesn't bring out the best in these guys. And it was not good tonight. God, it was not good.
Yeah. It hasn't really been good this season. I mean, Dallas needs to solve some stuff. And including, if we're talking about a title window with Luka Doncic early in his career, and Luka still remains very young. Is shooting under 30% from three on a high volume of attempts right now. And he is kind of, I don't want to call it a sophomore slump because he's not a sophomore. What is he, like, 30 or whatever? Like, he still has really good stats, but I do think teams are discovering, give him the three. And he better, like, he's going to need to up that into, like, the mid-30s to be the full-on MVP that teams believe he can be. But I just mean early in his title window tenure. Like, he needs a better 1B. I just don't think Porzingis is it. But,
I agree. Not the Porzingis that we're seeing this season.
Well, the knee, how many major knee operations now has he had? He does tend to float around. He had one offensive rebound tonight against a team that was playing basically Juan Toscano Anderson and Draymond Green at center. And that's part of the story tonight, is how perfect an opponent this seems to be for this style for the Warriors, because of what they could do offensively, but also the fact that Dallas does not beat you up on the glass, third worst offensive rebounding team in the league. Porzingis didn't mix it up much. And, so I want to get to the Curry quote I mentioned postgame. I asked him about, like, what they can learn this week, because it was kind of what I'm writing about, what they can learn in this unique situation this week and implement when they have a full lineup, when they do have their centers. And he said, I did not ask him about James Wiseman, but he said, it'll be good, I'm sure, for Wise to see how that ball was moving and that he can play that way as well and still dominate the game the way he's capable of with his size and presence at the rim. I thought it was interesting he singled out Wiseman. And I mean, look, Wiseman, particularly because a lot of times he's not seen on lobs, I do think when he gets it, he's like, okay, now, I got to take a jumper. He's not used to the fluid style, which is natural for a 19-year-old who played at Memphis East, basically, is where he's played most of his games in his career. They're going to need him long-term. They're going to need him short-term when they play teams like Orlando and Cleveland coming up, and Andre Drummond is bashing them on the glass. But they also need James Wiseman to play more of a Warrior style than he has. And we saw that tonight, right? That's what Steph Curry wants to play in, what we saw tonight. And Wiseman could do it, but he needs to learn it. And maybe it is good that he's sitting down and watching it.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, and seeing it, how successful it can be. Well, what did Kerr do, four games ago or whatever it was? He split Wiseman and Oubre. I think that's really what that was. He's just splitting those two. Like, you can't have two of those guys on the court with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. It didn't work when you have two non-passers. Although Oubre's beginning to pass the ball a little bit. I want to point that out. People have pointed that out to me. I will point it out. when there's no defense, maybe it's a little easier to pass the ball, but that's okay. But I think they can't have Wiseman and Oubre playing together very often, and I don't think they're going to. That's, you know, it just seems to loosen up Oubre a little bit. Not every game, but certainly this game, maybe a couple others. And it just tightens up the spacing, even though they both can shoot it. It just doesn't feel right. Neither one of them is moving fluidly. So if you just take Wiseman out of there and you put, you know, just one thing you hear, I mean, you know, it's said with maybe a little bit of a wink, but the coaches love Toscano Anderson's ability to move the ball around. Like they do. They really like that.
We should
like
probably talk about him more. Yeah,
I mean, he's like, even if he's not hitting that shot, and he hit another couple tonight, didn't look great, but it's all right. Like, it's just the ball goes where it's supposed to go. He doesn't end up, you know, getting stacked in the corner with Steph Curry. He isn't dribbling the ball at the top of the key and kind of like aimlessly. They love that. They absolutely love that. So even if you're not quite a shooter, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't, we'll see. But just that is just opens things up. Set a dribble handoff, you know, do something that Steph can work off of. Do something where Draymond kicks the ball back out and then boom to you. Like, just cut, pass, move, and Wiseman doesn't do that. Again, you're going to need him. I'm going to, you know, whatever. I'm going to go to the end of the season saying they're going to
need him. He also, I mean, I think with Oubre too, you see, like, look, he's just not going to be that. Like, Kelly Oubre is kind of established who he is as Kelly Oubre. With Wiseman, it's like, the brain could be there to do it. He's just never been told to do it. He's still, 5 years away from where Kelly Oubre is age-wise? So there have been games, you know, think about James Wiseman after the Spurs game. It was like he finally learned the spacing in the dunker spot, right? It was like, you know, he learned to kind of separate himself from the driver to give them space, and then they can dump it off better. You know, that will get him more lobs. I've seen him discover, like, passing lanes better as like high post, you know, and this is Warriors type stuff, right? They want their centers to be able to look. Draymond sets a back screen, Steph cuts, boom, I hit, you know, he's hit him with a couple nice lefty passes. So I mean, look, if James Wiseman is going to be who they think he can be, this is part of the growth curve, is learning the Warriors. Now the Warriors need to adjust to what Wiseman does too, right? Having a center who can shoot threes and all he can do. But I think he can do some of that stuff. He's just got to learn it. Now, is he going to be Juan Toscano-Anderson hustling around like that? Probably not. But, you know, that's the challenge of the next, really, 4 months or so, to get him as prepared as he can be when game one of next season tips and Klay Thompson is also on the court. He's as adjusted as possible to the Warriors system.
Yep, and I'll just say, I don't think they're going to play him with Oubre very much. You know, we'll see, and maybe if he's playing dynamically, they can play him with Oubre, but I just don't think that. I think that might have been the thing they decided, and I think they're going to stick to that. And I think this only further proves it. Like, the smaller you get, the better Oubre is, where it just, you know, he's not dribbling into three people, he's dribbling into one and a half people. And with Wiseman, it's just too clogged up in there. There's just too many people standing around when it's him and it's Hooper, and you have a center or a forward or whoever falling, you know, dropping off of Draymond. That's just too much to deal with. If you just got to get the action, you get the movement. It's just kind of Anderson moving over here, this guy over there, and all of a sudden Steph pops open. And if the defense is terrible, and the Mavericks defense, the Mavericks defense was horrendous.
Terrible.
God. And I've heard they've been like this all year, and it's unbelievable how many times Steph just took a ball up the top, got a quick screen, just dribbled twice into the lane, and nobody was there. That's unbelievable. That is really bad stuff for a team that with that kind of talent, you'd think. And so the Warriors took advantage of it, and you know, they can. They have talent. They have guys who can put the ball in the basket. I mean, again, they're going to want their centers back, and they're going to work them in. But let's salute Juan Toscano-Anderson. Like, that guy has come out of nowhere. I mean, Marcus wrote the piece, got the big pub on TNT. I'm glad to hear it. You know, a guy who's just made himself available and useful. And if you're 6'9", if you just do that, sometimes you're going to get playing time on the Golden State Warriors, and that's what he's done. He's available and he's useful. He just doesn't make mistakes.
Well,
he can play a little defense, not great defense. He can rebound a little, not great rebounder. He can shoot a little, but not great shooter. Nothing that he does, you go, wow, that's what they want to see in Game 7 against the Lakers. But maybe just because he can pass the ball around, he can make a shot once in a while, he can kind of knock around a little bit on defense. This is the bar is not go out and dominate. It's just help out a little bit, and he's absolutely doing that.
Well, so what do they do with him? Well, let's say Wiseman's back, Pascal's back, Looney's back. Is he in the rotation?
They don't want him to be. I don't know. The contractual situation makes, you know. So what, do they cut Mulder?
They don't need to do anything.
Going to come up here. Right?
Well,
I mean,
the new rule
we're talking about.
The new rule this year is 50 games. It's not 45 days. They really expanded it this year, and they've already deactivated him for. I should have the exact number, but let's say it's, you know, 12 games so far. So they already basically can play him all. Like they can play him every single game from now until there's like 10 or 12 games left in the season. Now, it becomes if he really establishes himself as like a must-play rotation guy, now, once the playoffs are nearing, then yes, they do need to figure out something to do. But by then, they might know that the Smiley-Geach thing is not going to work into next year, or, you know, maybe the Mulder thing. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I forgot about the 50 game. I was thinking it was 45 days again. So, yeah, they do have some time with him. I think they're going to play him. I mean, they do have a shortage of power forwards, so you know you can find him minutes on this roster, and if he's going to play like this, you know you find minutes for him, and if he's going to make shots, you really find minutes for him, and you deal with the back end later, you know, and Pascal maybe all he does is play those small ball minutes at center, no backup forward, that power forward minutes. I could see them working at something like that. Just because they want to reward somebody who's helping them. They want to reward some, you know, Kerr loves those kind of players who fought for it, who, you know, love every second of it, who are killing it in practice, who are cheering from the bench. He loves those guys. He thinks those are, and I agree with him. I understand this. Like they're integral to the mood and chemistry in the locker room and on court. I think they're going to want to reward that. Again, what does that mean for next season? I don't know. But for this season, I think he's going to be on the team for as long as they can, and I think they're going to try to get him some minutes. And clearly now he's going to play tons of minutes, you know, until Wiseman's back. And maybe he takes some minutes from Pascal. I mean, again, I'm always the guy down on Pascal. That second unit looked pretty good tonight. Looked pretty good. And I don't know how many teams you're really going to need any kind of center against, like any kind of center. Clearly not the Dallas Mavericks. We'll see. I mean, again, different formula against good teams, different formula against the Denver Nuggets, you know, clearly different formula against the Lakers, whoever. But against this kind of team, I could see Toscano Anderson being the second unit five. I could see that.
Last segment, Steph Curry over 100 threes already. He's by far the most in the league. He's should be in the MVP conversation. Now, he won't win it unless they're like a 4 or 5 seed, but he should be in it.
I've said this a couple of times on the podcast. I wrote it a little bit. I mean, I think he's as good now as he was. Again, not the same, not as good, almost as good. And when he's at his best, I'll just say he's at his best less frequently now than he was in 2016, clearly. But when he's good, when that shot's there, he affects the game in the same amount that he used to. And that's an incredible, it's just to see him play like this, I think he can be good until he's 34, 35. Maybe even 36. Not this good. There will be some decline. But what is, you know, he's kept himself in shape. Hasn't had a major injury in a while. Got that break last season. I mean, I can see him being this good next. Or can't you see him being this good next season at least? And then maybe, and then a little decline in two seasons. So that does kind of elongate a title window that we thought was closing. Again, and a lot is going to be determined, you know, what's Clay like when he's back? We don't know. But I don't think it's like this rush to win a title, one more title for Steph. I don't think that's – I think he's proving it that it's not – that window is still open for at least a couple seasons. And that affects how they plan their roster. I really – like there's just not this desperation to get Bradley Beal to just give him a chance to be the 3 seed this season. No, you try to reload and get to be the 1 next season. And that's with Clay back, and that's with a better – Wiseman, and that's with that Minnesota pick. And I think it alters at least the outside perception. I don't know that they were ever going to get into a game where they're trading James Wiseman, but I just think it alters the way we can look at them as a title prospect, not this season, but maybe for two more seasons. And I really wouldn't have thought that until I saw Steph doing what he's doing this season.
Yep. All right. Dallas again Saturday, which, you know.
We see what Rick Carlisle can come up with. If it's another thing like this.
They're at a moment right now, you know, where they need to figure out this direction of early Luka. And this Saturday feels like kind of an important game for them. Look, the Warriors can get blown out Saturday and they'll leave Dallas going 1-1. Great job. Dallas can lose and still make the playoffs, but it's just it does feel like they're kind of at an early season tipping point. And I'm curious to see how they respond.
Yep. Let's see. Luka, let's see what you got.
All right, Tim, thanks for coming on.
You got it.